Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Burning Questions Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah. Remember a couple of weeks back, the topic of heated car seats came up.
I do remember, yeah.
We put forward the theory that women like heated seats and men don't, based on
what?
Two data points. You and me. And then we decided to do a more scientific poll on the website to see if we were right or if we had our heads up our upholstery, as they say. So the early results are in.
Well, I mean, I think our theory for why men don't like heated seats was based on the coffee and bran muffin axiom, if I remember correctly. But do tell, were we right?
Well, women definitely like heated seats. 81% of the women who responded to the poll said they liked heated seats. But, and there's no pun intended, it turns out men like them too. 63% of the men who responded said they also enjoy a warm tush on the way to work.
This doesn't have to be their own. Oh, I'm sorry.
Here are some of the reasons that people gave for liking them or not liking them. Here's a guy named Adam Rogers who says, I hate seat warmers because it feels like you have just had an accident in your seat, but the non-traffic related kind.
That was our theory.
This is one from Mike Conley. I can only speak for myself and all other fur-bearing animals. It's about the hair.
So Mike's suggesting that fur-covered mammals don't need no stinking heated seats.
Yeah.
That assumes you have...
Never mind. All right, now here's another one from Alexander Hunter. I like heated seats. I'm an adult human male who's apparently also in touch with his feminine side. Does this mean that my feminine side is the side of me that comes in contact with the seats? All right, here's one from Cecilia Coyden. Sheesh. You knuckleheads, the question about women's preference for heated seats can be answered in one word. Skirts.
Yeah. That would have something to do with it, wouldn't it?
I never thought of that.
Yeah.
And here's more evidence for that theory from Fred Duffy. I'm a Scotsman, now retired in the USA. I would be willing to lend you my kilt so that you can judge for yourself what it feels like to sit on leather seats on a winter night in Boston. Yeah, well, he's right about that. Then we got the biological answer from the gynecologist who gave us the fertility explanation. How am I going to explain this one?
You're not. Forget it. Look, if you want to add your 2 cents, we're still collecting data. So go to our website, cartalk.com. And right now, if you have a question about your heated seats or anything else in your car that isn't working, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kat in San Diego.
Kat with a K?
Kat with a K.
Okay.
In San Diego.
Yes, it's very sunny here.
Oh, shut up.
Shut up. We don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, okay.
Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Before I ask my question, I have to state that I am a good driver.
Why? Yeah. Is your driving ability been called into question recently?
Well, that's a good question. That's why I'm calling you.
Oh, okay.
And you want us to be the judges?
Yes.
Does it involve the clutch?
No.
Oh, okay. Does it involve fenders?
I'm not good at stick shift driving.
Okay, lay it on us.
Okay, I've been driving for about 17 years, and I've had about 7 different cars.
Mm-hmm.
I go through 2 sets of brakes a year.
2 sets? You mean one in the front and one in the back?
2 complete fronts.
And how many miles?
I drive typically 17,000 a year.
So after 8,500 miles, you've worn out a set of pads?
Yes.
And this has been consistent for the whole 17 cars that you've owned. Or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Then it's you.
Yeah, it's you.
I mean, I don't care what you do. I was going to ask you, what kind of driving do you do, highway, city? But it's no question about it. Yes, you're a lousy driver.
Then why? Then what am I doing?
You must be driving so fast between stop signs or lights that you're forced to slam on that pedal. And in doing so, you're wearing down the brakes prematurely because you're asking them to do too much. Instead of going from one light to another at a reasonable speed, you're going so fast that you're driving like a New York City cab driver.
Mm.
Well, but isn't that what the brakes are for?
There you go.
That's exactly what they're for.
Yeah.
And the more you make them do what they're supposed to do, the more they wear out.
You know what you need, Kat?
Why do you drive like a nutcase? And you do, and you notice that she didn't deny it.
Oh, no, that she's doing it.
Exactly.
Okay, in my defense, I've never been in an accident, and I
Well, everyone's afraid of you. Everyone's afraid. When you're on the road, they all scatter.
Yeah, no, it's clear that you're driving too fast.
Okay, this is my question then.
Yeah.
So it sounds
you want to change your question.
No. So this is what I want.
Well,
to
wait. Start. First of all, do you accept that you, in fact, are responsible for all these breaks?
Just say I do.
I do.
Okay. Now what's the next question?
So, if I am able to just slow down,
yeah.
or when I just slow down, because I want to think positive, then I'm going to do it. How long should breaks normally last the average female driver?
Twice as long.
Female driver.
Twice as long as they're lasting you.
So a year, if I go to once a year.
At least.
Yeah.
At least. I mean, I think that would be a reasonable goal
for you
right now.
So if I negotiated some kind of perk from my husband, like some piece of jewelry or something, if I made my brakes.
Well, I think a piece of jewelry equivalent to the cost of a brake job, which is because you'll go down from two brake jobs to one.
Oh, it's, yeah.
I mean, that's a $500 piece of jewelry. That ain't nothing.
Okay.
I think you should strive for one brake job a year.
Yeah.
That's a reasonable goal. Do you have a high-pressure job?
Well, I'm a mom. Mm.
How many kids?
I have a stepson, and I have a daughter and a newborn, and then
infant.
Work from home. I'm a consultant.
Oh, man.
Oh, you're doing too much.
So you are stressed.
Yeah. Slow down. Drink some herbal tea.
Yeah, good luck, Kat.
See you,
Kat. Sorry to be so hard on you.
Have a great day. Thank you, guys.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
See, the other day, our sister was giving me a hard time for using her name when we say at the end of the show, don't drive like my brother, and you say, don't drive like my sister. And
yeah.
She was, I don't know, I did something questionable the other day when I was behind the wheel, and she threatened to rat on me. But I have a picture of her backing out of her driveway with the neighbor's rose bush stuck in her bumper.
Who, David's?
Yeah, and this look on her face like, who, me? So I just want to issue fair warning.
Wait, what did that have to do with Kat?
It had nothing.
It just
Kat being
you.
A bad driver reminded
oh,
me of Lucille.
Well, I don't know why that would happen. She claims that she's never had an accident.
Yeah. Okay. 1-888-CAR-TALK. It's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
I'm calling you from Youngstown, Ohio.
Where are you? On a phone booth?
Yeah. No, I'm on my car phone.
Car phone?
Yep. It's time for you to yell at me, Tom. Come on. Come on.
Are you driving?
Yes, I am.
Well, pull over, you knucklehead.
All right. You know what? Just for you, I'm going to.
Okay, good.
Just for you.
Because,
all right.
Now, here's the second thing you're going to yell at me about, okay? I'm driving because
He's playing a video game.
I'm driving because I'm going to a hearing because I'm a lawyer. So there's number two.
You're really way up there on our fecal roster. Go ahead. So what's up, Jeff?
All right. I have a 1988 Chevrolet Corsica. It's a 6-cylinder.
Uh-huh.
Back in November, I sold this car to my future father-in-law.
Oh.
Okay. For the sole purpose of him giving it to my fiance. Okay. And when we get married this August, the car is going to come back to me. I've had it for almost 9 years.
Wait, was this done for, like, tax purposes? I mean, what was the purpose of this conveyance?
I'm sorry, I can only take the Fifth Amendment to answer that question at this time.
All right.
Anyway,
we won't ask.
3 weeks ago,
you
with my,
lawyers.
With
You're
my
all
fiance.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's all
right. Okay, go ahead.
She's going to the bridal shop and looking for dresses for the bridesmaids. She calls me about 7 o'clock and says that the car won't run. Now, it's been very wet that night, and this car being this age, I had a couple different thoughts. Drove the meter at the bridal shop. We tried a couple tests, and I noticed arcing underneath the cap of the engine.
Good.
Okay. So I'm thinking that it is a spark plug situation. My father-in-law and I switched the spark plugs and changed the spark plug wires.
Good.
Okay, for a couple weeks, the car runs fine. Mm-hmm. Then, I would say 2 weeks later, she returns to the bridal shop, calls me, says the car won't run again. Completely dry day.
Ooh.
Okay.
Excellent.
She parked in the same place both times. It's at a downward angle. I have a fuel idea this time and say, well, maybe it is the fuel filter. So my father-in-law replaces the fuel filter.
Uh-huh.
Well, now it has been in a pattern where if it sits for 15 minutes to 45 minutes, it will not run. If it sits for less than 15 or more than 45,
that's right up.
It's perfect, like it was brand new. I'm driving it today, as a matter of fact, and it runs like it did when it came off the showroom floor.
You didn't shut it off when you pulled over, did you?
No, it's still running.
Why don't you shut it off, you chicken?
Shut it off and we'll test it right now.
This car does not have a distributor. This has direct fire ignition. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And, yeah. it has, because it's a six-cylinder, it has three individual coils.
That is correct as well.
And I suspect that one or more of those coils is bad.
Okay.
Or the module is bad. The module is the thing that the coils are all attached to.
Okay.
And the problem is heat.
Temperature dependent.
Okay.
And what's happening is if you shut it off, after 15 minutes is a long enough time for the engine to get hot. And less than 15 minutes isn't.
You have what's called a hot soak condition.
Exactly.
So oh,
that,
wow.
What happened? And 45 minutes is enough for it to cool off.
Right.
Right? But in between that, what happens is when you shut it off, the engine gets hotter and hotter for about 15 or 20 minutes.
Okay.
Because you don't have the cooling system running anymore.
Is this something he's going to be able to do himself, him being my father-in-law?
Well, absolutely. Yeah. I'd replace the module and the entire coil pack. It'll cost him several hundred dollars.
Easy to test, though. I mean, next time this happens, which we can make it happen.
Right now. We can do it right now.
We can do it right now.
But we're not going to.
You would need a helper. So someone's got to go crank.
Uh-huh.
And someone's got to get out there and see which one of the spark plugs is not firing.
Okay.
Yeah, and you'll find out that none of them is firing, and it's your father-in-law's car. Let him deal with it.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great way to start the marriage.
I think so.
Well, that was the whole idea for selling it to him in the first place, wasn't it?
Something like that.
So he could put in the new engine.
But when he does this test, he'll find out that, more likely than not, that all the cylinders are getting sparked, but it is very weak.
Okay.
And he may not be able to judge a weak spark from a strong spark, but he might have to take it someplace and have someone test the output of the coils. On the other hand, he could just go ahead and replace the parts on our word because we know that we're right. And if we're not,
sue us,
Jeff.
You're gonna replace all three coils. Is that what you want to do?
Sure. And the module.
What the hell? It's not your money.
It's not my money.
Absolutely not.
And Jeff's loaded. He's a lawyer.
Yeah, please.
See you, Jeff.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
You think he really would sue us if we were wrong?
You bet he would.
He sounds like such a nice guy, but...
Nah.
Nah, I wouldn't. Nah. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Robin. I'm in Spokane, Washington.
Hi, Robin. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. I'm just hoping that spring might be on the way.
Yeah,
your name conjures up spring, of course.
Oh, yes.
It does. I was thinking, what a sweet name that is. Robin.
Yes.
A nest of robins in her
hair.
And
it's spelled just like the bird.
Yes, we know.
Yeah.
Well, fortunately. Yeah. Well, so anyway, what's the nature of your call?
Well, I've got a 83 Toyota Tercel, and recently it started smelling like gasoline inside it.
Yeah.
And my husband does most of the basic work on the car, and so the last couple of times he was in it, I said, "It smells like gas. Can you smell that?" "No, I don't smell anything."
Yeah,
"No, really,
not.
It smells like gas." No. And I was thinking, well, maybe that's because when he's in his 65 bug, he comes out of it smelling like eau de gasoline afterwards.
Well, so it's been proven in the laboratory that women have a far more enhanced sense of smell than men do.
Well, that wouldn't surprise
me. Much, much more sensitive. That's why they can always tell when their husbands have been smoking cigars in the basement.
Right. That's right.
Right. Someone else's basement, no less.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd call you because he respects you guys.
Does,
he
huh?
listens when you're going through the stuff, and he says, "Oh, I can see the lights go on in his head." So I'm looking to you for authority here.
There's no reason why he would want to get rid of the car or you.
Well, you know, I think our life insurance is up to date.
Yeah, he might be eager to have it fixed, but not necessarily to fix it himself.
Right. Oh, okay.
Fortunately for him, the fix for this is under the hood.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
These cars have a tendency to have leaky fuel pumps, and the fuel pump on this engine is located at the back of the engine right near the firewall.
Okay, he probably knows where that is.
He can find it. It's the thing that's leaking
gas. So
all
you got to do is follow his nose, so to speak.
Right.
Or follow my nose.
Find the fuel pump because it's a kind of a bronzy-looking thing with the fuel lines connected to it. It has three little lines connected to it. And he can, with the engine off and having sat for several minutes, the thing will begin to ooze gasoline. He can simply wipe the bottom of the thing with his hand and then smell the gasoline on it, and he'll know that he needs to replace the fuel pump.
So it'll come out when I'm not, it's not because I drive like a banshee?
Well, no.
Oh,
that's why you need
maybe
a clutch.
Well, no, but I was thinking it doesn't seem to smell when he drives it, but he doesn't get it from first to fourth quite as quickly.
No,
it wouldn't make any difference how you drove it.
Oh.
But that's what it is. I bet my brother's Dodge Dart on this.
Okay. So does he need to replace the pump?
He needs to replace the whole pump. You can't rebuild it.
Okay.
Is your husband fairly competent with the tools?
Oh, yeah. He
rebuilt
the engine in his bug, and now he's working on a 47 Chevy.
15-minute job.
And he smells like eau de gasoline again. 15-minute job.
Should be 15, but he can milk it and make a whole Saturday out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And tell him not to smoke the cigar while he's doing
it.
Celebrate afterwards.
Okay.
See you, Robin.
Thanks very much.
All righty.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Hey, look, before we take more calls, we have to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll also have the answer to last week's puzzle. Do you?
No,
I don't think so. Well, last week's puzzle was about the names of states.
Oh, you mean like the resting state?
No, that's the state that you live in. The puzzle was about the states of the Union, you know?
All those states.
Yes, and we'll be back with the whole story and more of your car questions in just a minute. So please, stay tuned.
Bought a brand new automobile. I'm so proud I can't sit still. Love the way it looks and how it feels. Really is a clean machine, but by far my favorite thing are the spoky caps upon the wheels. I let her rip around the curve, its tires spin a flashing blur, then the trouble hits me like a switch. The power bottle, my worst fear, I look into my rearview mirror, see my hub cap roll into a ditch.
And even though cuckoos everywhere burst out of their clocks and say, moron, moron, whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if your cable box broke and you can't watch anything other than C-SPAN.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, here to talk about what? Cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Which is about states.
Well, it was about the names of states specifically, and this was sent in by someone named Arnie Hardica, who says the following. For some time now, I've been a New York Times puzzle addict, and hardly a week goes by that I don't learn at least one new word.
Me too. I learn them by looking up the answers the next day.
Well, I guess that works for you. Anyway, Arnie says last week was no exception, and I realized right away that this knowledge could be used as the basis for one of your cheesy little puzzlers. So here goes. I'm going to list 9 states of the Union. Are you ready for them?
I'm ready. Go.
Okay, pay attention now.
Yeah.
Maine, Vermont, New York, okay, Florida, Texas, Utah, Idaho, Wyoming, and Iowa. Okay?
Yep, that's 9.
Well, the question is, what makes these states different from all the others? And I gave a hint. I said, you don't have to think twice to know that Mississippi and Alabama are not eligible to be on the list. So here's the deal. You were paying attention, I'm sure. You may have noticed that I kind of grouped the states. There was Maine, Vermont, New York. They're like in the northeastern part of the country. And then Texas, you know, Utah, Idaho, Wyoming, they're kind of in the West. Well, that has nothing to do with anything, actually.
Oh, yeah. That's what I thought.
And Iowa is like in the middle all by itself. No, what makes these states unusual is that they're isogrammatic words.
Huh?
And they're words in which no letter is repeated.
Oh.
See, Texas has 5 unique letters. Wyoming has, I don't know, 7. Is that 7? Yeah, 7 unique letters, et cetera, et cetera. New York, okay, has 7 letters, but none are repeated. And there are no other states, save for those, that are isogrammatical.
What about Texas?
I have Texas on the list, you dope. Oh, I knew you were paying attention. Anyway, try this part. Do we have a winner?
Yeah, we certainly do have a winner. Our winner this week is Sally Milgram from Prairie Village, Kansas. And for having her answer selected at random from all the correct answers that we got, she's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, with which she can get Car Talk's Field Guide to the North American Wacko.
That's right. The Field Guide is a 4-CD set featuring four of what we consider some of our most memorable shows.
All right. Define for me most memorable.
No damage awards upheld by higher courts. How's that?
Yeah, I thought so.
Anyway, this collection, Car Talk's Field Guide to the North American Wacko, can be yours if you want it for being this week's Puzzler winner.
And congratulations.
Now, we'll have a new Puzzler coming up in the third half of Car Talk, so be sure to stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we'll try to answer your car question at 888-CAR-TALK, or maybe your neighbor's question. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Michelle. I'm calling from Elk Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Michelle.
Michelle, what's up?
Well, I have sort of a marital dispute that I need you guys to settle.
Well, I'll let my brother take this.
No, I've had enough marital disputes in my life. Yeah, what's up?
We have a 1997 Toyota Tacoma, four-wheel drive. It's a manual transmission. When I park the car, I leave it in gear. He's convinced that it's hard on the truck to leave it in gear when it's parked, especially when it's on a hill. And, of course, I set the parking brake when it's on the hill. And he insists that I need to take it out of gear and leave it in neutral. And so I just need to know which one of us is right. I already know, actually. I just need you guys to tell us.
To corroborate that you're right. This is
That's
a manual
right.
transmission truck?
Yes, yes.
Has he seen the owner's manual?
Wait a minute. How big is your husband?
He's probably about 6 feet tall.
He hasn't got a violent temper, does he?
No, no.
Don't have to go after a couple of puny little radio show hosts.
He's a peaceful man.
He's a peaceful man.
Yeah.
Man of the cloth, maybe?
No.
that would be even better. Because he's got his head up his keister.
Oh, you said it.
Yes. Yeah.
No, when you're parked on a hill, you've got to leave it in gear.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not only is it not bad, it's bad not to.
It's recommended, strongly recommended, demanded, and even.
He's mousing in the background. Why?
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 Well, because
Why?
The engine will hold, even if the emergency brake failed, if you had the truck in either first or reverse, the compression of the engine would keep it from rolling down the hill.
Okay.
And that's all that would keep it from rolling down the hill.
And he thinks the problem is that it's holding the car in place and it's resting on the gears or something.
It is, but the gears can take it.
The gears can take it.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
You could leave that thing in reverse for 20 years and you could shift it out and it would hardly know, you wouldn't be able to tell that anything had been done to it.
Right, right.
Well, and if you still have the owner's manual, my brother is right. I'm sure that the owner's manual says that you should do this.
I'll refer him to that.
Whether you're parked on a hill or not, by the way.
Okay.
You should always be in gear when you're parked.
Okay.
Even if you're on a flat surface. And you should always set the handbrake.
Excellent.
You're right. Did you have anything wagered on this?
I can come up with something really quickly.
I'd get on it right away.
But he did say, I will do whatever the guys say.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Will he paint the house?
Right. That's a good wager.
Does he walk the dog?
Michelle, thanks for your call.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR. Where do people get these ideas?
But he's convinced her of this for all these years.
But she never did it.
She never listened to him.
She never listened. Sounds like our wives.
Just like all women everywhere.
There you go. See,
they don't listen.
You had to. See, I just.
Speaking of which.
I didn't generalize.
That reminds me. I printed out this letter that we got. I just thought, this is important. This is going to save us.
I doubt it.
It's just from Linda, from the mountains of Tennessee. Hello. Just wanted you to know I love your show and I listen to it every Saturday. This is the first time I've logged into your website. Tell your wives how lucky they are. Beauty, brains, and a sense of humor. My kind of man.
The hell website was she on?
wait. Tell your wives how lucky they are.
Can you make me a copy of that?
Make you a copy? I've already got 100 copies printed up.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2. Can I read that again?
Tell your wives how lucky they are.
How lucky they are.
What was that? Beauty, brains, and what?
Your sense of humor.
And a sense of humor.
right. Well,
P.S. I'll be getting out of the home soon.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sid from Reston, Virginia.
S-Y-D?
S-I-D.
S-I-D. Reston, Virginia. Hi, Sid.
I'm calling. I've got a car with a linguistic problem.
Yeah.
My elderly Swedish car has started talking Greek to me, and is this a subject for, only for concern, or should it be a subject for panic?
Yeah. Which Swedish car do you own?
I have a 22-year-old Volvo DL wagon.
Oh, man.
And about 2 weeks ago, a light went on the dashboard.
I know what it says.
With the Greek character lambda.
Lambda.
And a word, or an initials, S-O-N-D.
Yeah.
And is this something that I should take the car off the road for, or is it something I can laugh at for the rest of its natural life?
What is the Greek symbol for lambda?
It's upside down Y.
It's like an upside down Y.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't deal in capital letters.
No?
I once memorized the Greek alphabet only because I was taking a course in statistics.
Yeah, it's good to know.
And you have to, there's so many things. I guess the Greeks invented statistics because all of the, you know, sigmas and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Chi squared.
Chi squared, that's a biggie. It's always one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lambda sensor.
Well, what does this mean?
The lambda zond. It just came on now?
Yep. After 22
years.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good, man. You're pretty lucky.
The lambda system is on a Volvo, and
we never figured out why it's called lambda.
No, but it is the oxygen sensor, and the light came on because it's telling you that it's either running too rich or too lean, or it comes on every 22 years like a comet traveling
clockwork.
Traveling through space.
After 250,000 miles.
Yeah.
But there's something wrong with what the lambda zond system does is the oxygen sensor reads the amount of oxygen present in the exhaust stream, and when it determines how much oxygen there is, it then sends a signal to the computer, which then alters the fuel-air mixture to accommodate the extra oxygen that's in the... For example, if there's too much oxygen in the exhaust flow, then it says that they could put in more fuel.
You don't have enough fuel going in.
So it's reading that the fuel air rate... Either it's telling you that the fuel air ratio is wrong or that there's something wrong with the sensor. And you can choose one of several paths here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's always the black...
My favorite path is always ignoring things until the next regular service.
Yes.
Yeah, there's always black tape.
There's black tape, which is ignoring it forever until a car stops running, which it might not ever.
But you can, the next time you have your car in for an oil change, when they have it up on the lift, ask them to look at the oxygen sensor to see if it's still there, and to also check the wiring that leads from the oxygen sensor. You may simply have a broken wire.
Well, the last time I headed in, they warned me there was so much rust that I shouldn't put a lot of money into it. So that's why I thought I wouldn't rush in with this if I didn't have to.
Okay. No. Don't let them get another look at it. They may condemn it.
Send $26 to the Shameless Commerce Division, and we will send you the official Car Talk black tape.
Thanks a lot.
Just forget about it.
See you, Sid. Don't worry.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Figure the lambda zond. That must have come from the Greco-Swedish War.
I remember
right? Part of the peace treaty.
I remember when the Swedish Armada invaded.
I think so.
Yeah,
invaded Greco.
The Greco Islands.
Oh God! 1-888 car talk.
Swedish Greco War. I like it.
888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jane from Boston.
Hi,
is that
Jane.
With a Y?
No, it's straight up Jane.
I don't think I've ever made anyone, except for Jane Mansfield, who's Jayne.
I actually work with five Janes.
Yeah, and?
They all spell it Jane.
Yeah.
Well, not Jane Zimmer.
Who the hell is Jane Zimmer?
She's the other one who doesn't spell it Jane.
I don't know Jane Zimmer.
I don't know Jane Zimmer.
I think she's
either.
An imposter. She changed her name.
Well, I know her.
Hey, where are you from, Jane?
From Boston.
Oh, from Boston. I think you said that already.
She did. Six times. So what's up?
Well, I have a 1996 Chrysler Town & Country minivan.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And it, for the last 6 months or so, it's been making two noises.
Mm.
The first one is this high-pitched chirping sound. That one I can't really verbalize for you. It just sounds like a bird chirping, and it goes at different sort of rotations per minute here.
Does it change?
It changes, yes.
Do you have to be moving to get the chirp?
Or no.
So the engine has to be running, however.
Yes, the engine. Exactly, that's it.
Okay.
And sometimes it is so loud, it's incredibly embarrassing. But then sometimes it doesn't happen at all.
Right, right.
Then sometimes it makes a low growling kind of kind of sound.
I love it.
And
boy, you're really angry about this sound, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, maybe it's not quite as growling, but it's much more low pitched.
So we got a chirp and we got a growl.
Yes.
And what are the conditions under which the growl occurs?
I can't figure out. It's random.
But will it ever happen when the vehicle is not moving but the engine's running?
Yes.
And sometimes it happens when you're driving.
Yes. But usually it starts when I start the car up.
Yes.
And sometimes if I go for a long drive, it will start and then go away.
Is the absence of the noise ever coincident with damp or rainy weather?
You know, it might be. It might be.
What a great
question. I can't
question.
Be sure, but I think
I would have guessed just the opposite.
If only I could interpret its meaning.
No, I was going the other way.
Now, I've brought it to the dealer twice, and both times it goes away after the car's been serviced, but then comes back.
Ooh, I like that. Don't you like that?
Yeah, I do.
Now, I have another problem, and I don't know if it's related or not.
Tell
you
us everything.
You might as well give us the
Spill
other one.
Spill your guts, Janie, baby.
How's everything at home, all right?
This is truly bizarre.
Kids doing all right?
The car will spontaneously go out of gear, but only, and it's happened four times, only when I'm leaving a parking garage. I pay the ticket. I go to put my foot on the gas.
And it's in neutral.
But it doesn't make any noise.
Yeah,
nothing happens. It doesn't even rev.
She's a wacko. I know that. I don't know how we're going to get rid of her. Do you have any suggestions?
I don't either.
The mics aren't on, are they?
No.
Okay.
The chirp, the growl, and the mysterious...
No-shift. Oh, I'm sorry. Jane, are you there?
You guys just talk amongst yourselves.
Well, I'll address your second question first.
Will you?
I recall reading recently a technical service bulletin on something similar to this with Chrysler transmissions.
Okay.
That they can sporadically, spontaneously, and without warning, not be in any gear.
Yeah.
So you might want to call your Town & Country dealer.
Okay.
To see if they have read the same bulletin.
I hope they have.
Now, the other thing, the chirp, growl, hiss, boom, bah. I think it's either a bad belt. You know, this engine has one serpentine belt, one long, long belt. Either the belt is bad or the tensioner is going bad, and that would cause either the chirp or the growl, but it would go away in wet weather because the lubrication afforded by the moisture would cause the noise to go away.
Okay.
What I suspect they may be doing when you get it serviced is they may be running an abrasive across the belt, if it is the belt, to make the noise go away. And then it'll go away for a few days, and once the belt gets glazed again because the tensioner isn't pushing on the belt tightly enough, then the noise will come back.
Okay.
Because that's what we do. Usually with the customers that are going out of town.
They'll
be in New Jersey by the time that noise comes back. Well, good luck, Jane.
All right, thanks
a lot. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, good. It's time for us to take a little break.
Good. I have to make a phone call during the break. My accountant has a question about my tax return.
What? More questionable deductions?
No. He says the IRS is challenging my claim that somebody actually pays me to do this.
We'll be back with a brand new puzzler and more of your calls in just a minute.
Park the old car that I love the best. Inspections due. hoping it won't pass the test. It's funny how I have to put it to rest, and how one day I will join it.
And even though mothers-to-be feel a wave of nausea coming on whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about, of course, cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Really?
Yes.
Cool.
And this is kind of, well, this doesn't need any additional obfuscation, declarification, or any,
it's
any,
just
any
complicated.
Of that stuff. No, it's not complicated. In fact, it's pretty brief. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of...
Wait, if it's brief, that means you have not obfuscated, declarified, or...
This has built-in obfuscation. All right.
Does it? Go ahead. This is interesting.
I'm thinking of two inventions from long ago. Okay?
Yeah.
One of them has thousands of moving parts. The other one has one part, and it doesn't move. Okay, so the first one has thousands of moving parts.
And these are both inventions.
These are inventions.
Of many years ago.
From long ago. One of them has thousands of moving parts. The other one has one part.
And it doesn't move.
And it doesn't move. But you ready for this?
Yeah.
They both do the same thing. Now, if you think you know...
Are they still around?
Of course. Are they in widespread use today? Of course not. But if you think you know the answer...
I like it.
Write that on a 6-burner, 56-inch Velux outdoor gas grill with motorized spit and rotisserie, flavorizer bars, warming rack, and integrated smoker. Barbecue season.
What's this?
I don't know.
Sounds like bourbon to me.
And send it to...
He wants to send it to Vieques.
Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But call us right now if you have a question. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dana from Chula Vista, California.
D-A-N-A?
D-A-N-N-A.
Oh. Hey, now, see, I have a friend named Dana, and she spells it D-A-N-A.
We've discussed this before.
We've discussed this at great length. I keep telling her name should be Dana.
No, I have an identical twin named Dana, so that would be way too difficult if she pronounced it Dana.
Dana and Dana.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
What were they thinking? You have to wonder.
Well, you know, they didn't have sonograms back then, so they just, I popped out and then she popped out. So they had to think quick.
I know. I mean, how quick, though? What, they couldn't go to the next letter of the alphabet? Anyway, what's up?
All right, here's our question. Here we go. My husband and I are both teachers, and we're quitting our jobs and selling our house and putting the two kids in the car and traveling for a year through the U.S., Mexico, and Canada.
I love it already.
And the problem is we have a 98 Windstar that we're going to get rid of, and we want to know what we should get to live out of for a year.
Wow.
Well,
how?
I think you ought to motorize a Motel 6.
Jeez. How much money you got?
We can have whatever we need to spend. Whatever we don't spend on the car, we get to live on.
How many kids?
Two.
A 2-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Oh, man. I mean... Do you think we're going to be able to swing an RV?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We could. We talked about Class A, Class C. I'm learning all this stuff. I don't know much about it. A truck with a trailer or a, what's it called?
Fifth
a
wheel.
Slide out. Fifth wheel. Yeah. One. Of, those are great.
Yeah.
Those.
That's what you call my brother.
Yeah. So what do you think?
Well, the only thing I've driven out west... You know, through those rocky, windy mountain passes where you could, with a moment's distraction, plunge thousands of feet to your death.
And if you didn't die, you wish you had.
I've driven a conversion van, which is basically a General Motors van that they had put fancy seats in, very comfortable
How
seats.
How big? It's like a... 15-passenger van?
Oh, no, it was extended.
10-passenger.
No, well, it was 4 in this case.
4-passenger.
No, it was not the extra long van, but it was more than enough
To live in?
Not to live in.
Nah.
No, you got to stay in motels. You don't want to live in the thing. You really have to live in it?
They want to live in it.
It could go either way. I mean, we don't know. We have no idea.
I'll tell you, when we were driving up some of those mountain roads, we were often following these RV things.
Yeah.
And while the thing that we were driving, the conversion van, was difficult to negotiate the turns with, I often found myself giggling that I wasn't driving one of those big RV motorhome things whose wheels often seem to be riding on the shoulder and throwing up rocks and dust. And I thought how perilously close they were.
To the edge.
And they didn't even know it, but we did because we were behind them. So with that advice, I would say drive the skinniest car you can possibly get. Yeah, I'll tell you, the greatest safety you can get is to drive something that you feel comfortable driving.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, have you done the numbers? I mean, I have no idea. If you buy an RV and you live in it, how does that work out compared to buying a car that you drive around in and stay in Motel 6
every
night?
Right, the gas, that's true.
Camp
if we had
out
something that was, you know, fairly fuel efficient, then maybe it would work out okay. But
I got exactly the vehicle for you.
Okay.
A Windstar. It's perfect.
And it's cheap.
Yeah, see, if you already own the Windstar, why complicate your life?
Well, that's why I'm wondering if you just go.
That Windstar, I think it's going to die. I mean, it's got 110,000 miles
on it. Oh, so you have to buy another one.
But
and in fact, in the year that you're gone, you will have put another 100,000 miles on the thing.
Well, that's true.
What are you doing this for anyway?
Well, we just, you know, we've been doing it. Well, we've got this whole gender equity thing. So one person's been staying home and one person's been working.
Yeah,
who would that be?
I stayed home the first 2 years with my daughter's three, so I just went back to work this year. So I'm working now, and he's at home. He's stay-at-home dad this year. Next year, it was going
and
to
be...
And
he wants out of that as soon as possible, so he's selling the house.
Actually,
right, if there's no home, you can't stay at home.
He doesn't want to go back to work, is the thing.
Yeah.
He's having a great time with the kids, so we're like, well, let's take a year off, live off the equity from the house, and go have some fun with the kids before they get into school. So that's the deal.
Yeah.
Well, you know, our friends, Susan and Carmen, had a Dodge Caravan, and they traveled all over creation with this little pop-up thing behind their caravan. You ever seen these things?
Yeah.
When it's in the closed position, it's about 4 feet tall, and maybe, I don't know, 10 by whatever the width of a...
What, it sits on the roof?
No, it's on wheels behind you. Pull it behind
you. Oh, those things. And it opens up into a 6-room house with a patio.
Exactly. And a pool. And you open this thing up, you turn a crank, and it lifts up so you can stand up in this thing, and there's enough sleeping arrangements here for 4, 5, 6, or 10 people. And it's got a little awning that comes out. I mean, it really does. It turns into a 3-bedroom ranch. And then you turn the crank the other way, and the whole thing folds back up. And, of course, every place you have to leave something behind because you can never figure out how to get everything back in. But it had in it a stove and a fridge and the whole bit.
And bathroom. Does it have a bathroom
Didn't
in it?
Have no stinking bathroom.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was the next best thing.
All right.
Yeah.
And wherever, you know, if you go to campgrounds, they have bathroom facilities in a lot of them.
Right, right.
Yeah, you have to do some homework here.
Okay.
I would love to hear from you every week or month.
Okay.
Just to find out, you know, I mean, you must be able to send us a picture once in a while with a little update.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we spent 3 nights in the desert dying of thirst. We were rescued by 3 guys on a camel. I mean, people would be interested in knowing how you did this.
Okay.
Because there must be lots of guys at jobs living in a life of quiet desperation, as we say, who would love to just pick up and go. And
right.
They would love to know if you made it. So when we stop hearing from you, then we'll know that you didn't.
So you'll have to keep us posted for the whole year.
Okay.
Tell me, as an afterthought here, your identical twin sister.
Yes.
She is nuts as you?
She's a poet in the Bay Area. And she's nuttier, actually.
She is?
Yeah. I'm the conservative teacher type, and she's the San Francisco poet type.
Yeah, but she lives in a house.
Yeah.
She's got a toilet.
She's got a toilet. Right. She's not out in some sagebrush with six rolls of toilet paper. No.
See you, Dana.
Hey, Dana.
Good luck.
I wish you the very best.
Thanks.
Hi. Well, she sounds like a lot of fun. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Steve from Montour Falls, New York.
Steve from Niagara Falls? Where?
Montour Falls.
Montour.
M-O-N-T-O-R?
T-O-U-R.
Montour.
Montour.
That's right. It's north of Elmira, and it's west of Ithaca.
It's way out in the boondocks, though, isn't it?
It is. I drive to Ithaca to work. That's where I am now.
Yeah.
But the problem came, actually, when I was driving back from Ithaca one night. My girlfriend and I had escaped the boonies to go to a cultured folk concert in Ithaca.
Yeah.
And we're driving past, but on the way back, out in the boonies, halfway between the boonies and the cultured city of Ithaca, there's a topless bar.
Uh-huh.
And conveniently, the car breaks down right there.
And it's amateur night.
Great.
No.
Yeah.
And it's late at night. It's dark. And I see this thing in front of me. It looks like a large black round object, like a bowling ball.
Wow. Yeah.
And I had no time to swerve, so I just ran right over it. Not with the tires, but under the car.
Uh-huh.
I heard this incredible grinding noise.
Oh.
And so I don't want to slam on the brakes because I fear I might skid or something, so I just gradually slow down and pull off to the side of the road about 100 yards down the road. We finally stop, grinding all the way, and we hear something go crashing off into the bushes.
Mm-hmm.
So we get out of the car,
mm-hmm.
and we hear laughter coming from in front of the topless bar, like a bunch of drunken guys, you know.
Ah, okay.
So, you know. So we're not going to go looking in the bushes in the dark, but we drive back to the topless bar. By the time we get back there, they've all gone inside, and I don't want to go in there and say, hey, who threw a bowling ball out in the road? So we just drive on. We find a bunch of big pieces of black plastic that came off the bottom of the car in the road.
Hmm. Black plastic.
Black plastic.
Okay.
The next day, my girlfriend's going back that way. She stops at that same spot, goes down into the bushes, and picks up a black bowling ball.
Of course.
Scarred, probably an inch deep scar the whole way around it.
So they had actually put a bowling ball in the road and stood there to see who would hit it.
Not only that, it was on a hillside, so they couldn't have just put the bowling ball in the road.
They had to prop it up.
They had to actually roll it out there.
How did they actually get the ball to stay there in the road?
Well, they bowled it, and they timed it. They heard the car coming. They heard Steve... coming around the mountain, so to speak.
Yeah.
And they timed it. Maybe they had a whole truck full of bowling balls, and they were just, you know, by successive approximations.
Right. You might have been the 14th or 15th car.
Well, there is an actual automotive question that comes out of this.
I'm sure.
In the morning when you go out, you put it into drive, and it doesn't go anywhere. Just occasionally, it doesn't go anywhere. But you put it into reverse. It's an automatic. You put it into reverse, and then it's okay.
And
so I'm worried that I damaged the transmission somehow with this bowling ball.
And this happened, what, a day or two after?
Well, it just happened sort of irregularly. And I can't say exactly how much longer after, but I have another theory, too. It may be the bowling ball, but I've also... I know you're going to laugh at this.
Steve!
But I used to coast down the hills, put it into neutral, and coast down hills to save gas.
Uh-huh.
Steve.
And I'm sure I've heard you guys say once that was not a good thing to do, but I was doing it.
Steve.
And I don't do it anymore. But I'm worried that somebody told me that if you do that, some part doesn't get lubricated.
No, it had nothing to do with it.
Really?
Yeah, had nothing to do with it. And I don't think the bowling ball had anything to do with it either, but... It could have. I mean,
well, it could have. I've been trying to guess what kind of a car you have. My first guess was a Honda.
It's a Mazda. 323.
Yeah, same number of letters, ends in a vowel, same vowel.
They're both made in Japan.
Same car.
That's it.
Good guess, Frank!
You guys nailed it.
He did nail it, didn't he? No, I mean, it's possible that when you hit the bowling ball might have done something, crushing the transmission cover, maybe making a small leak, which in turn would lead to exactly the problem that you have.
Right. I mean, you could have...
Leaking transmission fluid.
What? You could have the ball could have made contact with the transmission oil pan, in which case it could have, I suppose, dented in the transmission oil pan, done damage to the valve body of the transmission, or caused a leak, right. Or both.
Sure. But I don't think that happened.
Well, I haven't
and if
seen
this happened, meat. If this really did happen, you're going to have to go back and beat up those bikers at the at the topless bar.
Yeah. You're going to have to just start lifting weights and go in there some night and just
how much you
weigh,
Steve?
I have the bowling ball in my hand and just say...
yeah, have the scarred remains of the bowling ball. And just go in there and you drop that baby on the floor. I can see the movie that's being...
Oh, I can see... No,
I can see the morons in Hollywood working on it right now.
You have to go in and lock the door behind you.
Oh,
so that nobody
exactly.
can leave.
Exactly.
And they say, yeah, all right.
See whose fingers fit yeah. into the holes.
Right, exactly.
Ooh, that's going to be interesting. Let me know when you do it. Because I
want to
come by.
We'll send you a card in the hospital.
It's not going to happen.
Good luck, Steve.
Thanks a lot.
Don't go by on that road again.
All right.
Stay home. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blooper Fenolosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Somerville No Frill Lemon Dill Mixed Grill Jelly Fill Roadkill Chew and Chill, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our long-distance truck driver is Etienne Wheeler. Our director of top secret strategy is Donatello Nobody. And our solicitor of new ideas is Obi Quiet. Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Outavindo. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. Our construction manager is Dustin Dubree. Dustin Dubree, you get it. Our Russian chauffeur is Beekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe, as always, is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the shivering professors in Spring Tweed in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And above all, don't drive like my brother.
And below all, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1112, stroll through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, how to get all kinds of disgusting things out of your car.
You mean like my brother?
No. This is for people who have dogs.
Ah, yes, the Fido Zone, an area on our website devoted to everything Canis Automotus.
Yeah. Well, he said.
All about how to keep the dog safe in the car.
And keep the car safe from the dog.
It's the Fido Zone.
Get there from the homepage all week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though space aliens add us to their list of humanoids not to abduct whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.